topic we'll be discussing is Nosa, telling tales, which includes telling tales not only to the Goyish governments, but to the Jewish governments, to the local authorities. It still comes under the category of telling tales. Consequences, if you tell tales, you do Masira on somebody, is that if you cause through your act a loss of money which is halakhically not correct, then the person who told the tale has to compensate for that loss amount, loss of money. Secondly, another consequence is that if you tell tales knowingly that it's also to tell tales, and you have no good reason to do it, then you're going to have no chelik and olam haba. That includes if you tell tales to the local authorities. Now,
is that when you say the Jewish government, you mean even a legitimate Jewish government, like in the Zman HaTanach?
To the king is different. It's something that's related to the king. Now, last week we ended off that there is a case, a discussion, what is called telling a tale that you're not allowed to do, and what is you allowed to do. Meaning, that's clear that if a person hasn't yet got the rights to any property, and he's chasing after those rights, and, for example, he wants to build a nursing home, and the local people don't want the nursing home over there, they can complain to the local authorities to prevent him getting those rights, because he hasn't lost anything, hasn't yet got it in the first place. And therefore, they're not taking anything which he has already away to be considered that through telling tales, they've caused him a loss, because he hasn't yet got it. Like somebody is no worse than somebody competing for that land, but of course somebody can compete for that land. What's the difference competing for the land or preventing him getting the land by actually telling authorities we don't want it here?
So when they put up a big notice, anybody has any complaints, anything they're considering giving you?
If he hasn't yet got rights to the land, then there's no problem in putting your opinions forward that you don't want this particular project to go forward. However, if he's already got the rights to the land, we had two scenarios. One is that he wanted, the big kaplan wanted to change the tochnit and build a 20-story building in order that he should be able to make profits. Beforehand it wasn't 20 stories, it was only 5 stories. Now he wants 20 stories and he's putting a plan forward that he wants to do that. He's already got ownership of the property. Is that permitted? So we saw that that is also permitted, because even though he's got property, but he hasn't got yet the right to build 20. And therefore, by putting up an objection, you're preventing him getting the rights for the 20, which he hasn't yet got, and therefore that also comes under a heter of objection. However, we saw that if somebody's got a private property, and he wants to enclose his own personal balcony, and the neighbor, one of the neighbors doesn't like that, and he goes and objects to the area, that we don't want him to enclose that, that is different, and that we say that that comes under the prohibition of telling tales to a source which you're not allowed to tell tales to, and therefore it would be also because of Nasira to put in such a circumstance to go to the area to tell that this guy is enclosing his balcony illegally, and it's not allowed. That's a problem because he has already the right to enclose the balcony, because he doesn't necessarily, and it's quite common in lots of different areas, people build illegally and they don't care about getting permission. So therefore he already got certain rights, certain value to his property, and by objecting you're taking that value away, and that comes under the misur. That's what we concluded last week. Now, the case we're discussing now, that if we've already said to object to somebody enclosing their balcony is a problem of misura, and you have to go through the Beis Din in order to see if it's halakhically correct, we have the next shaila, next stage. Somebody has already enclosed his balcony illegally, without permission. Me, the upstairs neighbour, I want to enclose my property, but I want to do it with permission. So I want to go to the area and give my request of my balcony to enclose it. But by doing that, the neighbour comes to me and says, don't go to the area, because if you go to the area, they're going to come round and see that I've built illegally and get me into trouble. And therefore it's also for you to ask for permission for your balcony, because by doing that you are, in fact, telling tales on my balcony, and that should be a problem of Masira. So the question is it really Masira? It's not Masira. Is it permitted, not permitted? And what's the reasoning behind it? If it's Osa, then it's not called Groma, it's called Gami, and you'll have to pay.
I'm not really telling anything.
Right, you can just see it, to be fair.
And it's not, it's a subject.
Why is it so?
They're not for sure going to see the other guy and have it. I mean, he's going to inspect that second floor. It's possible he'll know the first floor. It's possible he'll investigate what the first floor ever done, but he may not.
He'll see it. It's not.
Right.
I can pay the guy in order not to see it, but he'll see it.
So it's a vadai that he will see it and know he is over something.
They've got all the plans. They know what's illegal and what's legal.
If you pay the guy, that's so good.
As we already discussed.
Will he do this cause me financial loss?
So by him asking to enclose his balcony, he's causing me a financial loss.
No, the first guy is causing the second guy financial loss.
Why?
I want to put him on a vessel, I want to do it legally. You do it not legally. That's just the way I want to do it. Because what, I can't do it now.
So then go to Basin.
Wait a minute, you can't prevent me.
Go to Basin. So you got a claim that he has financially
done it.
You go to Basin and say he financially caused me a loss.
You can't prevent me from doing something on my property because it's going to end up causing you financial loss.
So what you've got saying, you've damaged me by building illegally. That's your claim. So go to Basin, you've got saying, this person has built illegally, and by that he is damaging me, and therefore I want you to sort something out.
No. Let's say I have a property.
Yes.
And I want to build a purple house on that property. And that will devalue all the surrounding properties by 50%.
So go to Basin.
But wait a minute. You can't stop me from building a purple house on my own property.
It's not so possible. When we learn skating, it's not so clear that I can't stop you.
Why? What would you be able to do?
Devaluing my property. There's a Chivas or Rush.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
The guy is building a balcony, second floor. He has two ways to do it. He can do it illegally, or he can do it legally. He studies Dina Melchus Dina, and he determines, I am halakhically required to go to the government to get Rishus to do it the proper way. So, he's following halakha.
But, by doing that, he's damaging him.
If you're following halakha, you're following halakha.
Who has a job? The boy says, keep us in halakha. Lose your job. Lose your job. So here,
you caused that. Okay, I'll go to Basin. You caused the loss.
I didn't cause it though. You caused it because you built it illegally.
So what's the hetzer?
What's the isser? Forget about what's the hetzer.
Definitely you're causing me a loss.
I'm not causing you a loss. I am not causing you a loss.
You are causing me a loss.
I am not.
You said maybe not, sir, because you got a loss.
No, I'm not the one who's causing the loss.
You are by now this stage.
You could remove the balcony until the guy goes away and you won't have a loss.
To remove the balcony.
They become not related to me. They become not related to me.
And he wants to build out to create a balcony. He covers over my balcony. He wants to create a roof over my balcony.
Different stuff. Okay. So, the first Maramokim is a Shaila Shetshuva Zele Emes. And it's, the Shaila was like this. He was asked.
You're there?
Yes. Maisa Be'er Bechor Echot. There was a story with a young guy. Asher Obro Lov Ruch Ra, and he became silly. V'histis Ruch Zuluk Nurim Bekibu Litin Einor Bepas El Nocha. And he wanted to marry a goy. Like the look of so she made him promise, you know what? I'm going to marry you if you promise to give up your religion. So he said yes, because of the kind of topic. He wrote down in the official authorities in that town that he's going to give up his religion. The father found out of the young guy that is doing this, He started on that fear, so he wanted to save him from this terrible event. So he sent him to another town. Where they're not very particular about getting Jewish people to become Christians. They only ask one question. Do you want to become a goy? You don't want to become a goy. But im omad ben menusa approach him and say, if he says I don't, okay, then let him off. Mashen came big era, but if he stays in his town, Shasika Yosef Koshi, he will very hard, they'll force him to become a goy. But Atta, now that he, the father, sent his son away, Tosas Obiv and Maimon Rov, the local authorities got hold of him and threatened him with his Sarabi Surim Koshin to torture him in Lo Yaks Esbeno unless he tells them where his son is. Vata Shol in Mutza Legalisem Hechem Beno Nitsa. Now the question is the father allowed to tell these people where his son is to get out of being tortured? So we have a scenario. The son signed that he was going to be a goy. Father took him out of town. Now the father is taken and threatened with torture, and he says, we're going to torture him unless you tell us the son is. And the question is, can he tell the tale or not? So the Zera Emes answered like this. He said, it's the Beferish Yushami. A clear-cut Yushami answer. And it says like this in Yushami. B'nei Odzom Shohoyim Mahalkim Bedera. People were going on a journey. Upog Alehem Goyim. Goyim came as they were going on this journey. And the Goyim said, give me one of you Jews. The Nero goes, so we want to kill him. Give us a Jew and we'll kill him. If not, we're going to kill all of you. They're not allowed to give over a Jew. They have to give up all their lives. But if they say, we want him, we want Reuben to go in Sheva ben Bachri, they say, we want Sheva ben Bachri, Yipso Oso, you're allowed to give him over, below Yago, in order that you shouldn't be killed. Omar Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon ben Lachi is a condition, Beruche Chayav Misa, as long as this Shimon ben Lachi is really Chayav death penalty, and they're saying, we want him because he's Chayav a death penalty, give him over, then you're allowed to give him over to save your own life. Al-Pidin Nehem. Then you're allowed to do it. So says the Zer Emes, it's clear from here that if you show that if they say we want somebody specific, otherwise we're going to cause problems to you, then you're allowed to give over that person. You're allowed to give over that person. You're allowed to give over that person to prevent yourself being tortured or be killed. But as long as the person they're asking for is a person who deserves what? They're going to give it to them. What's called deserved means not in the halakhic ring, but that he has done something against the rules of the country. What? So Sarah Emma says, oh, so therefore whoever this father is allowed to say where his son is, because they've been threatening with torture, and his son deserves to get any punishment which he did, because he's the one who went against the rules of the country. The rules of the country says if you sign in the book, then you have to do what you sign, and you ran away, well, you deserve to get whatever you get, and the father's allowed to give it over to be punished for torture. Now the question is, why? Okay, we've got a very good proof, you're allowed to do it, but what's the logic behind it? Does anyone think of a logic behind why it would be permitted and it's not called telling tales?
It's like giving over a dead person already. It's as if he's dead.
He's not dead. If they can't find him, he's not dead.
Okay.
They need me to find him, so obviously he couldn't get out of it.
because when they find them, they're going to do it anyways. So just, it's going to happen eventually.
That's what we get. Maybe not. Maybe he'll manage to get to, in those days, Amsterdam. That's it. He's fine in Amsterdam.
No, we said last time, we said if your life is in jeopardy, you're allowed to do Masira. Didn't we have that episode last week?
No, absolutely. We had the opposite. We had the question of whether you can testify against somebody to limit your years in prison, and we said you can't.
Unless we said that imprisonment meant death, or meant
no.
Expediting death. Right? Didn't we have that? What if it was something like that?
No, the opposite. If you're telling tales to put somebody in prison, then you yourself, who's telling the tales, deserves death penalty because you're considered a rapist. By putting somebody in prison, you're putting him in danger. That's what we said last week. But here, what's the permission? Halakhically, he doesn't deserve penalty. According to the laws of the country, he deserves. Because according to the laws of the country, he deserves what he gets. You're allowed to tell the tale to get yourself off from persecution. What's the reason? A very solemn silence.
You don't have to give up your life for somebody else's life.
It's not giving up your life. The father was just torturing. Not giving up life. So the logic is the Shalom Meitshuv, and the Shalom Meitshuv is not written down here. Shalom Meitshuv says like this. He was asked a question. Somebody forged a guaranteed document, and he went and got a loan, and he put down as a guarantor Reuven, and Reuven never signed, and it's a forgery, it's not his signature. So now the authorities come to Reuven to collect the money, and they say, look, give us the money. Is he allowed to say it's not my signature, it was forged by the person who borrowed it? No. That was the question asked to Shalom Meitshuv. Is he allowed to tell a tale to get himself off from paying?
If the guy...
Somebody borrowed money and forged my name as a guarantor. Now they're coming to collect from me the money. Am I allowed to say it's a forgery and the person forged my signature and get the person in trouble back who forged the signature?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know the
take
money.
A loss.
He owes the money.
I'm telling a tale. So
I don't know the money. He owes the money.
Fine. But now he's going to go in prison for forgery.
Because it's either the guy who forged the signature got him in trouble. The guy who forged the signature got him in trouble. So why can't he get himself out of trouble by giving it back to the guy that got him in trouble?
No, you can't. You have to go to business and get the money back. From the guy who forged the signature.
So the answer, Shalmation says yes. Because it's the same yisod of this very MS and Yushami. And what's that yisod? So the Shalom Meitshuv speaks it out like this. He says, if the reason why they're chasing after him is because he's done something against the law, then, and that, by doing something against the law, has put me into a position that the only way to protect myself is by letting the law get hold of him, then you're allowed to do it because it's not considered I'm telling the tale and getting in trouble. He's the one who got himself into trouble by breaking the law in the first place. He himself got himself into trouble by breaking the law in the first place and putting him up into a situation where he could have a situation where he will end up getting this punishment. He's putting himself in a very dangerous situation. So therefore, it's considered as he has been Mosa himself, Mosa as Atzmo, it's called. Not me telling himself, he's the one who set up the situation where he's causing himself to be given over.
Isn't that the case with any Masira?
No.
Why? He's the one that... When I'm being Mosa, I'm telling you the authorities he did something against the law.
No, because you can go to Basin.
But you said by the it's not as if he did it himself, the damage himself.
Who?
The guy who built illegally on the Mepetz.
Yes.
So the same thing, he did it to himself. He's already against the law. He did something against the law. Why can't you go and apply for the plan?
Because I'm the one who is if I tell tales and somebody breaks the law, that's called mesira.
Not telling tales, I'm just trying.
But if me, danger, by doing an act, has put me in a situation that the only way to protect myself is to give him over, then he's giving himself over by putting me in that position. He put me in a situation that the only way to protect myself is to give him over, then he's giving over, not me. But if I'm nothing to do with it, I just see him built illegally, and he doesn't put me in any situation, I just one day want to say, well, I want to tell tales on him because I don't like him, or it disturbs me, or I have other claims, yeah, that's called telling tales. But if the only way to protect myself, whether physically or monetary, is in order to tell that tale, then he caused that situation, so it's as if he himself gave himself over to the prophet. He knows when he's doing this, that he's putting himself in a situation where he's leading himself up to a possibility that he will end up being given over to the parties.
Because
he did also leave him. So he did something wrong as well.
He's going to end up in jail. He put himself in a situation to end up in jail anyway.
No, because the first guy in jail, yeah, he deserves also to be in jail for 30 years. So if he's done something wrong, then he can't protect, he's got no right to protect himself. If you've done nothing wrong, and the only way to protect yourself is to give over the details, and that was caused by the person himself, then now you're allowed to
protect. You said even monetarily to protect yourself, to this extent?
Yes, because we see by the forged documents over here. Monetary issue.
He was just doing.
So therefore, the father was put in this position by the son going against the law of the country in signing up and then running away. So therefore, the father, in order to protect himself, he's allowed to say where his son is.
And the second poor guy should be allowed to...
So here also,
apply for his work.
Is that... I'm not telling tales over here. The only way to protect my rights is ask for enclosing my balcony, which I had a right already. It's not that I didn't have a right and I want a different right. I had that right to enclose my balcony legally. He did something which is illegal, which he knows is bad. That's very likely that the person who wants to build upstairs may want to do it legally, and therefore the only way to protect his rights is to ask for enclosure. He can't get the enclosure, therefore I'm not telling tales. The person himself is giving himself over to authorities by building illegally in the first place.
So you're allowed to apply.
So therefore you're allowed to apply to enclose your property legally, even though it may lead that the person who was illegal to get in trouble because he put himself into that mess in the first place. So my problem.
And going back to last week's porch case.
But if he encloses his balcony and it disturbs me, and I'm just saying it's damaging me, this
monetarily
damaging me, I can protect myself by going to Basin. I can protect myself going to Basin. So you have to go to Basin. No hesitation to go to the court.
Why not?
Because
they're both kids. It's monetary damage.
No, but you can go to Basin equally easily to protect yourself in Basin.
You say only because it can be done easily.
Yes. And I had that right to, I didn't have that right before too. Here I've had the right which was taken away. Had the right to enclose my balcony legally, and by doing it illegally.
You want a right more of a higher property value without the guy's big balcony blocking your view.
No,
last your cash was worth $100,000. He built this huge monstrosity blocking your whole sunset, and now your house is worth $50,000. So he took away your right and your value, and there he did something illegal.
Yes.
And you should have a right to go to a separate system reporting.
You could go to Basin to get the same results.
You can't go to Basin to enclose your property.
Yes.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. You're basing this on the premise that the guy who holds the balcony first did it illegally.
Yes.
Which begs the question, what's called illegally? If everybody does it, is that illegal?
That's illegal. There's two ways to do it. There's illegal and there's legal. Everyone does illegal, doesn't mean that it becomes legal.
Well,
it still has consequences. It still has consequences. Okay, let's say it's legal. Let's make it legal. But there's legal with consequences, there's legal without consequences. You know, this legal way has certain consequences. If people come round from the area, then you have a chance that you may have kanasim or asked to remove it. Yes? That's what you know by doing this legal way of enclosing your property, if you want to call it legal. Okay, so let's now move on to a din Torah which happens in Beis Din. A claim of 500,000 bucks. In Chutz La'aretz, there was an apartment building where most of the people living in the apartment building were Jewish. And it's what we call a closed community, which means a walled community, which means they're very highly security minded, they have all different alarms and everything's locked. You can't get in unless you are really one of the owners or one of the friends of the owners. Now, there was a person who was visiting their brother in the apartment. So they're outside, going into the apartment, and just as about to walk, not the apartment, going into the building, and just about to go into the building, the Ganovin with a gun came up behind the back and said, "Be quiet, I'm following you." So, now the Ganovin has got into the building. But he still needs to get into one of the apartments in order to do his business. So, he said, "Lead me to one of the apartments. Get me into one of these apartments." The robber, the Ganovin, asked the person who's visiting. So now this person has a choice. Does she go to her brother's apartment, or does she go to one of her neighbor's of apartments? Brother's neighbor's apartment. So she didn't want her brother to lose anything, so she went to one of the neighbor's apartments. She knocked on the door and he said, "Who is this?" "Oh, I'm Reuven's sister, don't you remember me?" "Yes, sister." "Yeah." And he opens up the door, and in went the robber and cleared out the guy who happened to be a diamond dealer. So he lost $500,000, no insurance.
No insurance.
Diamond dealers by derech klal do not take out insurance because you're too expensive. So now it comes to Beis Din.
Is that true?
What?
Is that true? Diamond dealers don't take out insurance.
They don't. That's the big firms, but not individual ones. Yeah. Now it comes to Beis Din. And the claim is against Reuven's sister who brought in the robber to the apartment.
She never got her back. She's him.
She thought
her
back.
And the question is she liable to pay for the loss or not? It was Masira! He was telling tales! Worse than telling it is, bringing the gun right into my house!
It was Mammon versus Mammon versus Takanas Nahashas.
Yes.
So that I don't think it's Masira.
It's
Mammon versus Mammon or Takanas Nahashas versus Takanas Nahashas. But if it's Mammon versus Takanas Nahashas, I don't think that's Masira. Is it?
So, Kodesh, you're not supposed to give up your life.
Right.
But what happens, let me ask you a question. If the only way to save your life is that you have to damage somebody's property to save your life, you're allowed to damage.
Yep.
You have to pay.
Yes.
So the claim is, for sure you had to do this, Brett, but you have to pay.
No,
you saved your life. You saved your life by damaging me by bringing the gun
away. The gun has to pay, not her.
No! You saved your life by damaging me.
No, but she doesn't know that it's not normal for a person to be a diamond dealer. He was hoping, the gun was hoping to get it.
Doesn't matter. He's still a gunner.
No, but if it's beyond a normal expectation, she can't get beyond normal context.
A mazik is higher even beyond normal expectations.
Well, I'm not being mazik to your life.
Gami, your chayv gami, Musa, telling tales.
And one could
ask, smiling.
She should have to pay. And one could add, bringing a ganav into the house is a kind of kavoshes for the house also, meaning some ganavim don't just steal things, they take lives too. So it could be it wasn't even mutter for her to do this.
He wants money, this guy. Now, so the Shulchan number 4 says like this. Otsu ha-melech le-moseh ad-shi-yira le-momen chaberim. The king came along and forced this Jew to tell tales on where the other Jew, Shimon, is keeping his money. Ve-her-lo. And he went and showed him, because he was being forced with their owners, how he's there, potter, he does not have to pay for doing that. Because if he doesn't show him, he's going to get killed. Yes, they were. They had a gun. He said, if you don't come in, I'm going to kill you.
If she wouldn't have been liable. She could have gone to
any
door. She was wild to her brother.
No.
Why would you like
specific?
No, he didn't tell her to take it to your brother. He didn't tell you to take it to your brother's apartment.
No, but she was going to go. She didn't need to go anywhere.
But she would have been hired to her brother if she was picked up her brother.
So it's not the same case with the Shulchan Aruch. We cannot learn from the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to pay, because the Shulchan Aruch is very specific. The king says, I want Reuben's money or I'm going to kill you. So give me Reuben, show me where Reuben's money. Fine. But that's not the case over here. She didn't say, I want Reuben's, Shimon or Levi's money. Who's all money's good? So maybe it's not that similar. So let's compare it and ask in the Gemara and Baba Kama like this. Number 5. Rav Huna ba Yehuda ikle lebe Avyuni. Rav Huna came to the house of Avyuni, asked him to come into Rava, and Rava was there. Omele, Kul Maisa b'yotza, have you got some interesting din Torah to tell me about? Talk about Torah when you see Gedolim see each other. Omele Yisrael. So Otsu over the Chavim, yes, I had a din Torah, a goy forced a Jew to show him money. They hear a mom and chavera, and he showed him money. Boniodi, and in that halacha came to my hands, or whatever, he's chayv to compensate for showing the goy where the money is. But chayave, and I said he was chayv to pay. And that's why din Torah which I had. Omelay, so Rava said to him, ahate uftu lamala. And you have to get the din Torah back. It's wrong. It's a wrong pesach. As we learnt, Yisrael should also over Chavim here and Mamu Chaver Potter. A goy comes along, forces you to show money, then you don't have to pay for the loss. Only if you physically put the money in his hand, but to show him the money, you don't have to pay for the loss. So you have to retract on your pesach. It's all wrong. So Omar Rabba says no. If you weren't told specifically which person that the goy wants, he just said, show me money, and you went and showed Reuven's money, then that's different. Then you do have to pay. You only don't have to pay if he says, I want Reuven's money. Then you don't have to pay. But if he says, give me money, and you show where Reuven's money is, then you do have to pay. So is our case comparable to the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where the king said, give me Reuven's money or I'll kill you, and therefore you don't have to pay? Or is it comparable to the case in Baba Kama, where it says, give me money, and you said, here's Reuven's money? Which case is comparable to? To the second case. Any difference of opinion over here?
Neither. Because even in the second case, she didn't know who she was giving over to. She's knocking on a random door. Here, at least, she knows it's a specific person. She knows it's a specific person. So choosing a person.
Okay. Any other opinions? Compared to Shulchan Aruch and your release campaign, or compared to the case of the Baba Kama and you have to pay, what's the difference? In the case of the Shulchan Aruch, he says, I want Reuven's money. In the case of the Baba Kama, he says, give me money.
I'm not convinced that in this case, the showing him any money. All she's doing is knocking on the door.
Yeah, but there's definitely money in there.
How do we know?
There's jewelry. This has some fancy money.
The Ganav knows there's money there. She's just opening the door. She's not showing him something.
She's not even doing that.
She's enabling him to get hold of any money which may be inside.
Correct. Enabling him to get hold of money is not Nasir.
Right.
Not.
Without me, you can't get hold of money. With me, you can get hold of money.
If I am a partner with a Ganav,
yes,
and I open the door, nobody's home. There's not Nasir. I'm a Ganav. I'm not a Moser.
Well, if you're partner with a Ganav, you're a Ganav. If you're not partner, then you're Masira.
So she's a Ganav.
Why?
So which one?
No, she's not. She's not. I don't think she's even a Ganav. I think she's not. think she's being Mara. I don't think it's called Mara.
She didn't do anything.
She didn't show anything. She
knows.
When you tell the authorities or tell someone, I mean, if I gave the guy a lift and drove him to where he wants to steal, that's Masira?
If he says, give me a place where it's money, then he says, yeah, that's Masira. So the answer is, it's not comparable to either case. Why? The case of Shulchanoff says, give me Reuben's money. That's not, everyone agrees that that's not the case here. The case of the Baba Kama is, give me your money, or give me money. Who asked you to actually give anybody else money? Maybe your money as well is good enough. And that, the Quran says, to save your money, you went and said, take it from Reuven, that's for sure you have to pay. To save your own money and say, don't take my money, go to Reuven, that's for sure you have to pay. Now, our case is in the middle. You're not asking, he wasn't asking for the specific person, but he wasn't after your money either. So, are you chayav to pay or not? So that we have a third Shulchan Aruch which answers the question. Number 6. Not on the Samelach as the Gazim Va'omelo. Here alone as Komash Yeshlocha. The king came along and said to him, don't show me where all the money, get me some money over here. But here is Sodom Zeh Shagozul because Sodom failed, and he went and showed a specific field which he stole already that didn't belong to him. But not La Melech, and the Melech took that field which didn't belong to him. Chayav La Hamid Lo Sodom Aras Kamusu. That person is chayav to compensate for that field.
Which person?
The Ganav.
Well, the Ganav is Jewish.
Yes. The Ganav who gave over his stolen object in order to fulfill the requirements of the Melech is chayav to pay. The Ganav has got 10 stolen fields in his property. And the king says, give me a field. And he went and chose one of the fields which belonged to Reuven instead of Shimon, Levi, Yehudin, Zoch, and Zvulun. Yeah? He went and gave Reuven's fields over. So the answer is, he has to pay. Aye, he wasn't after his money because he's got no money, this cousin. He's just got everyone else's money, this cousin. Yes? And he was asked, saying, give me a field.
What's mean he has to pay? He has to pay any, he has to pay all of them because he stole all their fields.
So?
What's mean he has to pay?
Ah, that's a question that the Rishonim asked. There is a terrace. Go to. But, the question we see from here clearly that even if the goy is not after your money, he just says, show me money, and you went to the head showed somebody else's money instead of Shimon's money, you sold Reuven's money, then you're chayav to pay for Reuven. That's also called Masira. Therefore, the halakha in this case is that she had to compensate for the damage. Yes.
Now,
could be. Could be.
If she would have said,
Yakiu or Yimisa, I hit you or I'll kill you.
If she would have said, you know what, I don't really know the place. You pick an apartment. You pick. I'll walk you there. You know what I'm saying? And then whatever, you know, I can open the door for you. But would that change or just still be fine?
No, because if she says, you know what, I'm not going there. I'll go there. If the Ganav is not going there, if the Ganav said, go to his house, and I'll kill you, then if it lets you go into his house, then fine. Then that's the same of the Shulchan Aruch you release. But if he says, it's up to you. Well, and she says, it's up to you. And together they're deciding which one to go with. Does it help?
Yeah, even if it's going to Shulchan Aruch, the Ganav is giving over a specific field which he knows that it's Reuven's. It's supposed to Shimon Levi and Yehuda's. Here, she doesn't know who this is. It's a random door. It's not her brother's, but it's a random door she's knocking
she
on.
Knows,
there
no,
you are.
She does know that. She didn't know all the neighbors she was going to. She knew what it is. And you said, look, she's protecting her brother instead of other people. The rule is, to save your life, you have to damage somebody else. You have to pay for the damage to save your life. And this comes under that system. Now, here is a Shaila. Yes, that's it.
So good Eitzah is to pick the poorest looking house. Because mutter to do it, you're going to be five, so pick one that looks really, really poor people.
Yes, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes the poorest looking house has the most money in it. They don't often put money in the bank, those poor people. They put it in the house. Now, we're going to finish off with the Shaila like this. Are you allowed to work in the tax office?
Oh, Moshe has a tshuva on that.
Are you allowed to be a tax inspector? By being a tax inspector, you come along, a nice Jewish family, who are avoiding taxes. And then you will have to reveal the details.
At risk of your own pronunciation. If you don't reveal it, then you're risking your
pronunciation. Tishman is different, because it depends what type of... If it's a danger to society, then of course you're allowed to do that. That's part of society. You're allowed to give over people who are dangerous to society. That's what we said last week. People who are dangerous to society, then you're allowed to get them in trouble and off the roads and off the streets and out of society to protect society. That you're allowed to do. But somebody's avoiding taxes. Are you allowed to be in tax inspection? You're telling tales.
You only bring it down. The Moshe has a famous shuvah.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, I know. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
I actually disagree with it, because I think he has the wrong assessment of the Matthias.
Okay.
we'll talk about it next week.
So, based on what we've learned, you should be able to answer me. Are you allowed to be in tax inspector?
You're protecting your own livelihood.
No. Well, who told you to get such a livelihood? Wait, first of all, you're not. If you do absolutely nothing, you're going to pay the same.
Unless they find out that you work.
No. You'll be a goslin because you're getting paid for not working, but you won't get fired.
Okay, that's no problem.
You won't get fired.
Are you given a specific case? Or are you?
No, yeah. You're not given a specific case.
They give you a fine.
You are a tax inspector, and now you're in charge of a certain area, a certain...
You give me a fine.
Okay. And you go now through the files, 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 files. Oh, a nice Jewish boy. He's avoiding taxes the last 10 years.
He put himself
in his way. He's getting paid tonight. Hmm? Does he have a job?
Well, but he put himself in that situation. The guy who didn't pay the tax already put himself into the... and went against the law.
But there's another condition. He put himself into that situation, and by doing that, it's affecting me.
Right, my job.
And therefore, I'm allowed to do it to stop it being affecting me. Have you had that?
You need a job. You can get. You need a job.
First of all, I told you it's not true. You keep your job anyway.
He wouldn't have taken this job. Wasn't the best job available. You got a higher paying job somewhere else.
Let me ask you something. The government has shut down for 2 weeks. Have you felt it at all?
They've already changed.
I understand. But the fact that nobody's working in the government doesn't mean you lose a job.
You better feel that. That's
everyone. That's a good point.
That's affect you. I mean, maybe not economics directly.
They're talking macroeconomics.
100,000 people did it. if 90% of you're talented, it wouldn't affect your forces. So it might be small. It doesn't affect you, but you, by you.
But am I the only one who can save society?
Well, he's the only
one. Yitzhak Solomon is the only one who can save society to prevent the taxes being lost.
No,
get Ahmed to come. Muhammad, why does it have to be a Jewish boy as being a tax inspector?
You'll catch more people.
So the answer is, you're right and you're wrong. You've got the job. And now you come over files that this guy has been avoiding taxes. So therefore, the person has put himself in a situation where he could be getting himself into trouble. Do you have the other factor that now you're protecting yourself? Says Rav Vosna, you do. Because, not like you. Because if your boss finds out that you are on purpose avoiding files and reporting certain people, then you will lose your job. So therefore, you are protecting yourself by giving over the information, and the person put himself into this matzav in order that that will happen, so therefore there's a lapse. However, says Rav Vosna, what permission did you have to get the job in the first place? To put yourself into that position.
You need to feed your family. You couldn't find another job.
It's like somebody on Shabbos.
Become a hitman. I mean, what?
It's like somebody. It's like somebody having an operation before Shabbos where he didn't have to, in order to put himself in a situation where he could break Shabbos. Okay, now you're in that situation. You can break Shabbos. But who gave you the permission to put yourself into the position?
So says
Rav Vosna, a Jewish boy shouldn't get the job, but if he's already got the job, then he's allowed to fulfill the requirements of the job and sell the information
but
over.
The much more common case is not avoidance of taxes, but where you're catching someone who's taking one tax position and the IRS or Mas Hakmasa wants to argue with it. So you didn't break the law, but now you're going to have to pay money because you're now taking up this challenge. That's much more common. Mm-hmm. So there, I don't think you could say that you broke the law and you put yourself in this position. You didn't break any law.
That's more like doing the enclosure, which maybe is okay, maybe it's not okay, maybe we'll go up.
No.
When you do a...
If it's a doubt, then it's okay.
It's not a topic that it's illegal. It's perfectly legal for me to take a reasonable position, even if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so, but maybe you're right. Yeah. So therefore, you can... So, next week, we'll be discussing a case you can think about for next week. And that is, somebody has a machzan which is full of all his clothes which he keeps, he sells and buys, sells clothes. He has a store in his shop, but he keeps in the machzan all these clothes. And there was a huge leak from the upstairs neighbor's view, which went into that machzan and caused extreme damage to the machzan. Halachically, according to halacha, the owner of the machzan hasn't got any claim halachically to get his money back from that leak. He can ask for the leak to be repaired, but for damages to the clothes, halachically, he cannot claim.
Why?
When we do Hilchos Mazik, I'll tell you. But there's insurance. There's insurance there. Not the diamond built. He has insurance. So the machzan person goes and claims on his insurance. What happens then? The insurance then goes and claims from the upstairs guy, and the upstairs guy now has to pay. Is that called Mesira for me, the Mafsan guy, to claim for my insurance, causing the Mafsan, the people upstairs who are not halakhically required to pay, now to pay because the insurance company are after them or not? That was the case came to Basin, but it happens also with cars, accidents all the time like this. Think about it. Is it Mesira? Is it not Mesira?
Very good.